Evening to each one. I know, thinking rain, wet weather, and time change, and tomorrow being Sunday, and know how many would show up, but we're thankful for each one that did. I hope you can receive something from the message tonight. Title of the message, Love the Brotherhood. What picture do you get in your mind when you think of what an ideal brotherhood should look like? Another question, what are you doing to help promote that picture that you have of that? 1 Peter 2:17, we find the command, love the brotherhood. What brotherhood is it speaking of? I believe this brotherhood is part of the Christian family, the family of God, sons and daughters of God, born-again believers who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe Satan is doing all he can to tear it apart. Brother is talking about the light witness a family has in the world, and they do, a godly family. Brotherhood. A godly brotherhood also has a big impact. Did you know love for our fellow brother and give witness to the fact that we have passed from death unto life? Yes, it does. You look at 1 John 3:14, it says this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Read that again. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If you don't love the brotherhood, I take from this verse, if you don't love the brotherhood, you have not been quickened and still dead in trespasses and sin, as Ephesians 2:1 speaks of. Eternal life is not in us if we do not love the brotherhood. And that's strong words, but I believe it's truth. That does not mean we will never have any disagreements. But our love for the brotherhood will help us to respond, I believe, in the right way when we do, and to seek forgiveness where we maybe failed to respond in the right way. I want to read from Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to the end of the chapter. We see here what I've always considered a beautiful picture of Christian brotherhood, their love for each other, working together. Acts 2:41 to 47, here in the early church. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. A beautiful picture there. Souls being added. 3,000 souls it mentions. A common bond in Christ, knit together. Verse 42, walking together in the light given them. Verse 43, a reverence for God, a channel for God's power to throw through. Verse 44, mutual care for each other. Verse 45, willing to allow God to bless them, to be used to help others in need. Or willing to allow God's blessings to them be used to help others in need. Verse 46 speaks of one accord, united in purpose, hearts overflowing with the joy of the Lord. Verse 47, rejoicing in the Lord together, following the path of peace, effective in reaching out to the lost about them. Why should I love the brotherhood? It is your God-given duty. It's a command. We're commanded to do that. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And as I said maybe before here this week, our Lord never commands to do something that he will not with the command empower us to be able to do that, to do so. Matthew 5:44, he commands us to love our enemies. That definitely goes against our flesh. But with God's help, it is possible. Sometimes it may also be hard to love the brotherhood, especially when it seems maybe we're not understood and feel our voice is not being heard. To love is not just a feeling that springs up within us, of which we have no choice in the matter. To love is a choice we can all make. Scripture tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not love us because we were beautiful to look on. We were very marred by sin. But he loved us because he made a choice to do so. Yes, he did. Sometimes we look at our brother and it seems we can't see the beauty for the dirt. We daily rub shoulders with them. We know their flaws, their weak points. Remember, in your criticism, there is no exception to the command, love the brotherhood. And maybe you say, well, Lord, you just don't know my brother or sister. But yes, he does. He knows them well, and he knows you just as well. Better than you think you know yourself. I should love the brotherhood because Christ loves it. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I'd like to read some from the Lord's, what we refer to as Christ's prayer for the church, John 17. Look at that from 20 to 26. Christ's prayer here for the church, proof of his great love and devotion for his own. John 17 started at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, and that includes us, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and there that they may also behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Verse 12 to 14, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you want to be Jesus' friend, you must love the brotherhood. I should love the brotherhood because of the witness it sends forth. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. When I refuse to forgive a wrong being, when I hold on to bitterness at how so-and-so treated me maybe 10 years ago, whatever it was, in some matter. When I refuse to help a brother in need when I could help him, then I am guilty, I believe, of furnishing Satan with the material that's needed to bar the path to salvation for my unsaved neighbors, others that are looking on. If you would take maybe a 10-year-old boy, girl, whatever, who was an orphan and they desired to belong to a family and allow them to choose between two families, maybe allowing them to live with each family for maybe a week. Say the first family would take him or her home and talk about all the wonderful things they would give them, be able to do for them. And yet, if he would just choose them for the family, for his family. Yet within those 7 days, he witnessed sharp words, the selfish ambitions they had, their refusal to help one another or to forgive one another. But as he spent another week with the second family who spoke kindly to each other, they put the other's needs before their own. They were quick to make right any wrong. They had little of this world's goods to offer, but they loved one another. If you were that lonely child, what family do you think you would choose? And it doesn't take many family members failing to do their part to send forth and pour witness to others looking on. Sometimes we think we can do a pretty good job of covering up around us, around others. When I was a young little fella, probably old enough to know better, but crime was not like it is today. Mothers often would go into the store and leave the children unattended. Not just real tiny children, but we were old enough to take care of ourselves. I had four brothers total. But we would be out there waiting for mother to come. It probably wasn't all that long she stayed in there. She probably didn't want to leave us too long, but it was long enough that we'd get to picking on each other. And but if we saw somebody coming, a lot of times we would straighten up because we didn't want our fighting to become public knowledge. I've had to wonder since how many people witnessed what was going on in that old black car that we was bouncing around in. You can't hide such behavior for very long. And sometimes go on long enough that you would get so hard and you didn't care who seen. Only that you came out the victor. Sad to say, you see that sometime in the brotherhood. You want to come out on top. Many are looking at the church today. Some are sincere seekers. What witness are we giving them? How many are we turning them away because of what they see? I don't know you all here, so I can speak freely. But I know it goes on. Love for the brotherhood sends an attractive witness that, yes, these people are genuine. They love one another. They practice what they preach. How does one love the brotherhood? By unselfishly giving ourselves to needs within. In Galatians 4, you probably know the account, 15, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Galatians, reminded them that their love for him was, at one point at least, was so great, he said that they would have plucked out their own eyes and given them to him if that had been possible for them to do. I don't know about you, but I value my eyes very highly. And just to be real honest, I think I would be willing to part with one if my wife needed it to see. But I'm not sure if I could go further than that. Maybe you would. The Galatians were so thankful for Paul's preaching the gospel to them, they would have given their eyes, is what he said to him, had it been possible. How great do you love the brotherhood? Give to a brother or sister in need something very near and dear to you. Some feel Paul's thorn in the flesh was poor eyesight. It seemed like there's some evidence of some of that, and I'm not sure that's why that was mentioned or not, but what are we willing to give up to us that's very dear to meet the needs within the brotherhood? Maybe one of the things that's near and dear and hard to us to give up is just time. So we got this to do, we got that to do. We can't take time off to help out a brother or sister. If we truly love the brotherhood, I believe it will cause us to sacrifice our time for the good of it. Maybe some I know have given up plans for a career or something in the future, forego that for the good of the brotherhood, and helping out with something they were asked to do, to help with the work of the church. In Acts 9:36, records Dorcas as being a woman full of good works and alms deed. After her death, all the widows stood by Peter weeping as they showed him the coats and the garments which she had made them. She had touched their lives, and they missed her being gone. Probably didn't know how they're going to do without her. When I pass from this life, when you pass from this life, will you or I be remembered for unselfishly giving of our time and talents to meet needs within the brotherhood? How many will weep over our passing? Or will be hardly noticed. We love the brotherhood by submitting to one another. In 1 Peter 5:5, we find this. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I have witnessed men who have refused to humble themselves and submit their will to the will of the brotherhood. The path of a proud man like that is full of trouble, and it will lead to his destruction if he doesn't repent and turn. I heard of it said of a church leader years ago, he will never come back because he would have to eat too much crow. When wrong, can we humbly admit it to our brethren? It might not be easy. Flesh doesn't want to do that, but if we truly love the brotherhood, we will submit ourselves to one another. Submission can be taught, but if we do not live it out, it will not be caught. We love the brotherhood by giving reproof, rebuke, and by exhorting. 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul's charge to Timothy was, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reproving, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Ephesians 5:11 calls on us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. As children of God, we are called to walk in light, to put off the works of darkness. And I believe if we truly love the brotherhood, we will do what we can to help one another from falling back into the darkness in which we were once walked. Say no, brother, sister, don't fall back again into that darkness. What you're doing or involved in is not right. But say it with love and with kindness. It makes a major difference how we say it. And I had to wonder how many might be a part yet today of our brotherhood had someone loved them enough to reprove them on the path they were on. I don't find that easy myself. But we truly love the brotherhood. We will. In Matthew 6, I think 40 and 41, our Lord reproved his disciples for failing to watch and pray with him in Gethsemane. They slept while they should have been in prayer with him. The time for prayer was gone. It was too late. Are we busy challenging one another to be watchful, to stay on our guard in this evil world? In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul rebukes the Corinthians for not dealing with one in their midst who was openly living in sin. He said they needed to deal with. He told them they were puffed up or they were proud when they should have been in mourning. He warned them that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And he strongly rebuked them. That they might deal with the sin and save themselves from falling back into darkness and having it, the darkness spread. In Galatians 2, we have another account where Paul gave a strong rebuke to Peter. Galatians, I want to read from verse 11 to 14. Peter was the leader of the church. Remember that. But he did something that was not right. It was wrong. And Paul saw the need to rebuke him for that. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew him and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He saw that they weren't walking according to the truth of the gospel, and he gave a rebuke. Peter's failure to do right here was causing others, including Barnabas, to follow his example. That's the way it goes. When one falls into sin and nothing's done about it, it has an impact on others. A strong rebuke was needed and given before more followed Peter's unchristlike example. I think it was Paul's love for the brotherhood that prompted him to speak up. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to exhort one another daily, lest any of us be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. To exhort is to urge earnestly by advice and warning. How earnest are we in challenging one another to obey the gospel, to remain faithful, to remain watchful? If we would love the brotherhood, if we really love the brother, we must be active in giving reproof, rebuke when needed, and must be daily exhorting one another in our walk with the Lord. If we love the brotherhood, we will forgive and disregard offenses done to us. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Ephesians 4:32, just read that. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We can't both love and at the same time be unwilling to forgive a wrong done us. We need to remember how freely Christ has forgiven us. That ought to prompt us to gladly do the same for another. What will be the results if I don't love the brotherhood? Number one, Christ is going to hold us accountable. 1 John 4:20, to say we love God but hate our brother makes us a liar. If we can't love our brethren, how can we love God whom we have not seen? If we fail to love the brotherhood, the witness of the church will be hindered. By this, by your love for one another, All men shall know that you are my disciples. If we fail to love the brotherhood, both spiritual and physical needs will be neglected. If I fail to love the brotherhood, the blood of many may stain my hands. Why? For causing others to reject the gospel, because we haven't done as we ought. If I do my part to love the brotherhood, God's kingdom, I believe, will be increased. The blessing of the Lord will rest upon us. Peace and harmony will be the rule. The church will be effective in meeting both physical and spiritual needs of many. How active are we in our love for the brotherhood? Are others being drawn to Christ because of the love they see me and you fleshing out in our daily living towards our brethren? Colossians 3:14 says, and above all these things, it's a list there in Colossians 3 of things to put off and what we should be putting on. And verse 14 says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. How active is our love for the brotherhood? Are others being drawn to Christ because of the love they see me, you, fleshing out in our daily living towards our brethren? May God help us to love the brotherhood. Wanted to not keep you too late tonight because you could lose an hour. But I would trust that message can be an encouragement to us. A little bit unsure, but I think I will open it up for, let's have a verse of song, invitation. And maybe you've never made a commitment to Christ. You want to do that tonight. We'll give you time to do that. We'll give you opportunity to do that. Somebody will help you. There's been conviction in your heart for, know you have failed in being what you ought to be in the brotherhood, failed in some way. We'll give you opportunity to respond as well. Let's have a song this time. And if you